The Healer, The Healing Work of Mary Baker Eddy, compiled and arranged by David Keeston. Part 2. Spake as one having authority. See Matthew 7, verse 29. Early years, 1840 to 1865. Number 19. On her wedding day, her marriage to George Glover in 1843, our leader, after leaving home, stopped at Concord for the night to visit her old home at Bow, New Hampshire, on the next day. The young bride and groom were journeying to the south by a sailing ship, and before leaving home, her mother had given her a letter addressed to herself, with the injunction that she read it with her husband when they were halfway through the sea voyage. Before this time, however, a severe storm arose, and the captain said that he did not think there was any hope of saving the ship. It was a sailing ship, and therefore more at the mercy of the wind and waves than the liners of today. So she and her husband kneeled down in their cabin, praying to God to save them. She said, "I want to read my mother's letter. I know we are not halfway across yet, but this may be the opportunity." She read the letter, which contained such good advice. It was treasured and was helpful to them. She saw all its meaning and its love, and this helped her very much. They continued in their prayer to God. In a short time, the captain came below to say, "The wind has suddenly subsided, and we are safe." Coming on deck, they found a peaceful sea, and the journey was continued in calm and peace, without further misadventure. The captain of the ship was grateful to the Glovers for their prayers, and the situation showed the efficacy of their sincere appeal to God, resulting in the immediate abatement of the storm and their consequent safe passage to harbor. From Mark. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Number 20. The very next year, while they were on a business trip to Wilmington, North Carolina, Mary Glover's husband contracted yellow fever, and 9 days later expired on June 27, 1844. The doctor attending to Mr. Glover stated that but for Mrs. Glover's prayers, he would have died many days sooner. This example took place 22 years before she discovered the science of the Christ, or the divine principle underlying Christ Jesus' healing work. Mrs. Eddy's motherly, loving disposition was always lifting the thoughts of others, lessening suffering, and bringing regeneration. She could not help doing this. Her mothering nature was felt by all, especially by the young children, and resulted in immediate healing. From Matthew, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Number 21. When Mrs. Eddy was a very young woman, she started a primary school, and among her pupils was a very bad boy who had caused his parents and playmates continual trouble and apprehension. Mrs. Eddy dealt patiently with him, but seemingly to no avail at first. Finally, one day, she required him to remain after school until the other children had gone home. Then she began to talk with this boy, not upbraiding him, but telling him about the love of God for him, and also praying for him. When the boy reached home that night, his whole nature had undergone an utter transformation through this transmuting touch of divine love, as expressed to him by his teacher. His parents were astonished and spoke to her later about it, saying that the hateful disposition which he had formerly shown had been entirely dispelled, and he was now gentle and loving and obedient. The boy had also manifested great interest in the Bible and now loved to read it, while his reverence and affection for his teacher were unbounded. In the Christian Science Journal for February 1995, it is related, "I persisted, and he at last dropped on his knees beside me. Then I prayed. Soon he was sobbing and jumped up and imploring me to whip him and forgive him. I, Mrs. Eddy, answered, 'The whipping would do you no good, but my prayer will help you.' Then I opened the door and he quickly disappeared." Later, the boy's mother came to see Mrs. Eddy, relating, "Mid smiles and tears, she sobbed, 'What have you done to my Willie? He's another child. He prayed last night and read the Bible, something I never could get him to do.'" From James. "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous woman availeth much." Number 22. Mrs. Eddy relates, "In the 50s, Mrs. Smith of Rumney, New Hampshire, came to me with her infant, whose eyes were diseased, a mass of inflammation, neither pupil nor iris discernible. She thought of the words of Jesus, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not.' Who, she wondered, has forbidden this little one who is leading it into the way of blindness? I gave the infant no drugs, held her in my arms a few moments while lifting my thoughts to God, then returned the babe to her mother, healed. In grateful memory thereof, Mrs. Smith named her babe Mary and embroidered a petticoat for me. I have carefully preserved that garment to this day. This leaning on God brought instantaneous healing and joy to both the mother and Mrs. Eddy." Number 23. The beginning of the Civil War found many a young man off to fight. Living near Mrs. Eddy's home was a kindly woman who had befriended her, who had an only son who was going to join the forces of the North. Although he had been a disobedient and wild boy, Mrs. Eddy knew the need this young man had and wished to give to him a copy of the Bible. With but a dollar in her purse, she purchased the Bible and inscribed his name in it and a scriptural quote she wished him to repeat each morning and night. Just before he was to leave the next day, Mrs. Eddy asked his mother to bring him to her room. She told him that that book would save him. She wanted him to promise that he would read a portion every day. The young man was very impressed with all that she said. One day, after the end of the war, there came a knock on her door. The young soldier had returned. "You do not remember me," he said. "I am the soldier to whom you gave a testament when I left to join my regiment. I have come to thank you for the blessed book, which has always been a help to me and which saved my life." Thereupon, he gently took from the pocket of his uniform a well-worn Bible and gave it to her. He showed her where the book had stopped a bullet from piercing him. From Psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Number 24. During the years she spent in bed as an invalid, she got up a petition for the abolition of slavery, which she sent to President Lincoln, signed by thousands of people. Her husband, a surgeon dentist, Dr. Patterson, was sent with two senators to pay the soldiers of the North. On arrival near the boundary, he was enticed into conversation by Southerners in disguise, who induced their enemies to cross the boundary about 3 feet. They then suddenly pronounced them prisoners and took them to Libby Prison. The senators never were heard from again. But Dr. Patterson escaped in a marvelous manner, returning home some weeks later. This was the result of his wife's prayers for his protection. During this time, our leader had been removed to her husband's brother's house, and her bed was placed near the window. One day, she saw approaching what appeared to be a tramp in tattered clothing. He knocked at the door and told his brother that he was starving after weeks of exposure in finding his way home. His brother did not recognize him and sent him away. Our leader, however, called out that it was Dr. Patterson and told them to take him in and give him food. After this, he lectured in many places, telling of his many experiences and wearing part of the same clothing in which he had returned home. From Acts. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending, after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the 1st and 2nd ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod." George, Mary's only son, was enlisted in the Union Army during the Civil War. One day, Mary had a strong spiritual impulsion that her son had met with great harm. Her immediate response was to pray for him. Her tender ministrations, knowing only angel thoughts, surrounded, protected, and prospered her young son. A short time later, she had heard that indeed George had been shot in the neck. The physicians had concluded that the shot was fatal, when suddenly the healing took place, and George was able to recover quickly. Number 25. During the time that Mrs. Eddy was studying the methods of Dr. Phineas P. Quimby in Portland, Maine, in 1862, she helped an invalid that was in a terrible state. In the absence of Dr. Quimby, a man was brought to the hotel where I was staying, who was in a pitiable condition. He had some time previous met with an accident, and he was well nigh broken to pieces. His knees and ankles were out of place, and he was suffering untold agonies. The proprietor of the hotel came to me and besought me to do something for the poor sufferer. At first I thought I could not. Then I said, "God can do it." I went to his bedside and lifted my thought silently to God. At the conclusion of my prayer, I said, "Now you can arise and open the door for me." The man arose, and with the iron clamps he wore rattling as he walked, and went and opened the door. At one time, Mrs. Eddy went to visit her husband's relatives in Maine, upon hearing he was taken prisoner of war. During her quiet stay there, she healed one of the family's livestock. One time when she was visiting Dr. Quimby, a man was brought into the room who had been run over by a train. Mrs. Eddy recounted, "Both limbs were shattered, and his condition was so pitiable that Quimby would not stay in the room with him. But he said to me, 'Mrs. Patterson, you go and see if you can't help him.' I went to the door, lifted my eyes to heaven, breathed a prayer, and the man rose up healed." Number 26. Another incident of healing that occurred when Mrs. Eddy, who was at the time married to Daniel Patterson, was visiting Quimby in Portland, Maine, took place in the hotel near the train station of that city. Apparently, a woman was taking her dying husband to his family home in Canada. When a doctor on the train advised the woman against further travel with her husband in such a dire condition, they stopped at the hotel where Mrs. Eddy was staying. Soon after, she had heard of the woman's husband passing on there in the hotel. She went to the room of the grieving wife in the attempt to comfort her. She said, "Let us go and waken him." They went, and she stood beside him for a few minutes and told his wife that he was waking and that she must be close by so that he could see her when he opened his eyes, which he shortly did. He said to his wife, "Oh, Martha, it was so strange to be at home and you not there." And he spoke about meeting his parents and others of the family who had died before. Martha had witnessed the true power of the Christ to resurrect her husband, just as the Christ had done 19 centuries before. This was to be one of the first of many, many times that Mrs. Eddy raised someone from the dead. When Mrs. Eddy left the hotel 3 days later, the woman's husband was living. During this time, Mrs. Eddy cured another man who had been severely injured and had broken limbs. Before leaving Portland, she healed a number of Dr. Quimby's patients as well. From Mark. "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, 'Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, 'Talitha cumi,' which is being interpreted, 'Damsel, I say unto thee, arise.' And straightway the damsel arose and walked." Number 27. On March 31st, 1864, while on a trip to see Phineas Quimby, Mrs. Eddy was able to help Mrs. Mary Ann Jarvis, another of Dr. Quimby's patients. "A woman whom I cured of consumption, tuberculosis, always breathed with great difficulty when the wind was from the east. I sat silently by her side a few moments. Her breath came gently. The inspirations were deep and natural. I then requested her to look at the weather vane. She looked and saw that it pointed due east. The wind had not changed, but her thought of it had, and so her difficulty in breathing had gone. The wind had not produced the difficulty, My metaphysical treatment changed the action of her belief on the lungs, and she never suffered again from east winds, but was restored to health. This incident has appeared in many editions of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. Number 28. Although Mrs. Eddy was yet to make her discovery of the science of Jesus' healing ministry, her reflection of God's ever-present love was a blessing to many. In the latter part of 1864, Mrs. Patterson spent about 3 months with Sarah Crosby in Maine. While she was there, Mrs. Crosby was taking a bottle of vitriolic acid off a high shelf. The bottle broke, showering her face with the acid. A doctor was summoned quickly, but to no avail. He could do nothing, and was of the opinion that she would probably die. It was in this extreme state that Sarah Crosby reached out to her guest for help. Mary told her to lie down and rest while she prayed for her. Upon waking up, she was restored whole, with no evidence of the accident. Later on, Mrs. Eddy related, Mrs. Sarah Crosby of Albion, Maine, sent for my aid because of the injury to her eye. She was hundreds of miles away, but after receiving her first letter, as soon as the mail could bring it, I received another from her, of which the following is an extract. Since the accident to my eye, it has been so exceedingly sensitive to the light. I have shaded it, unable to do any writing or sewing of any note. The Sunday I mailed you a letter, I suffered a great deal with it. Monday, it was painful until towards night, when it felt better. Tuesday, it was well, and I have not worn my shade over it since a week ago, Monday, and I have read, sewed, and written, and still all is well. Now, you may form your own conclusions. I told a friend the other day you had cured my eye, or perhaps my fear of my eye, and it is so. Though I am sure for the life of me, I cannot understand a word of what you write me about the possibility of a spirit like mine having power over 170 pounds of live flesh and blood to keep it in perfect trim. Number 29. One of Mrs. Eddy's students, Clara Sainsbury Shannon, asked her why she wrote Science and Health. She told me that one day she was called to a lady who was dying of consumption, and that there were 3 or 4 doctors there, fine men who had expended all their medical knowledge in trying to save this lady from death. Mrs. Eddy said, when they found that there was no hope for her recovery, they decided to test that woman, as they had heard of someone who had been cured by her. The husband of this lady sent for her, and when she entered the room, the patient was propped up with many pillows and could not speak. Our leader saw that what she needed was an arousal, and quickly pulled all the pillows away from behind her. As she fell backwards, the patient said, "Oh, you have killed me." Mrs. Eddy told her that she could get up and that she would help her to dress. She was instantaneously healed and well. Mrs. Eddy asked the doctors to leave the room while she helped her to put on her clothing, after which they rejoined the doctors and her husband in the sitting room. Miss Shannon continues, "One of the doctors, an old experienced physician, witnessed this, and he said, 'How did you do it? What did you do?' She said, 'I can't tell you. It was God.' And he said, 'Why don't you write a book, publish it, and give it to the world?' When she returned home, she opened her Bible, and her eyes fell on the words, 'Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book.'" Jeremiah 30, verse 2. Which showed her God's direction.